As the high school football season rolls on, we've got you covered.
It's on the way. It's high enough. It's long enough. It's good.
Oh, my goodness.
It's good. They win it. They win it. Are you kidding me? What a game. Woo!
This is Next Round Preps on the Double Down Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, John Lunsford and Jerry Young.
And welcome in to the final episode of Next Round Preps. I'm John Lunsford along with Jerry Young. And Jerry, we are now to the semifinals in 1A through 6A and one Super 7 matchup already set. We'll talk about Thompson Hoover and recap that game that we saw firsthand this past week. But next week on Wednesday, we normally tape this on Wednesday, we'll be at Protective Stadium for the Super 7.
We will. We'll be calling the game between Thompson and Central. We'll get, like you said, John, we'll get into more of that. You know, when you just said final, I didn't realize, but this is our final podcast of the year, which means this will be our final game we call of the year. There's a lot of finals coming up this week. But, man, what a year it's been. High school football has been at an all-time high. Some really fantastic games. Some teams have really stepped up that we're going to talk about. But another great year in the books for the Alabama High School Athletic Association and the job that they've done to get us all the way up to the Super 7.
And I know we're looking forward to the semifinal games coming up this weekend on Black Friday, and then, of course, the Super 7 all week next week. But a lot of people talking about reclassification as well, and maybe we'll have to do a special edition once the reclassification comes out. Because, you know, especially with 7A, you have some teams go up, some teams go down. The competitive balance rule now moving some teams around. Will we see a private school like McGill-Tulane move back up to 7A? Will Mountain Brook come back into 7A Region 3? A lot of questions to ask. And a lot of interesting new matchups once the reclassification happens. That it used to happen in January. Last time it happened in December. I don't know if they've announced exactly when it's going to happen or not.
Well, it happens every 2 years, so that's how they look at it. So this is the second year of this classification. And I agree with you, John. I think, you know, it's going to be – there's always people, always schools that are, you know, sad that they had to move one way or the other, or it affects – I go back to Gadsden City. You know, they're up there in Gadsden. They have to travel to Birmingham to play most of their games, and so that's interesting. And there'll be things like that situation that will happen. Some teams will be happy. Some teams will be sad. But it's a necessary evil that has to be done to keep everything balanced.
Yeah, and of course, you at Trustville, the last reclassification, they did the same thing when they had to go up to Region 4 instead of playing all the Birmingham area schools like they normally do. All right, in Class 1A, we're down to four teams. The teams moving on. Brantley, they beat Keith 20-14. A little bit of a low-scoring game here. Brantley, I believe Brantley was the number one team in the ASWA poll coming into the playoffs. But Keith, kind of a name I'm not used to seeing there. They beat Notasulga. They beat McKenzie, a couple teams who I'm used to seeing there, and they fall to Brantley. Brantley will host Sweetwater. Sweetwater and Maplesville, two name brand teams there in Class 1A. Maplesville, though, losing 41-7 to Sweetwater. Sweetwater will travel to Brantley. On the other side, Wadley beat Woodland 27-0. They'll travel to Pickens County. High-scoring game here, 60-46. Decatur Heritage, they fall, but here are their three scores in the playoffs. 48-28, 76-60, and 60-46. A lot of offense, not necessarily a lot of defense in those games. Pickens County, they move on.
Yeah, Pickens County, a great team. I've been watching them really all year because they're one of those 1A teams, the Tornadoes, that you just love to watch. They've only had one loss, well, two losses, actually. They lost to Aliceville earlier by a score of 39-32. But then to Gordo, which a lot of people can say they lost to Gordo, but good job by Pickens County, and that's going to be a good 1A matchup coming up. That game will be on Thursday, I believe.
And then the Super 7 game for that, since we won't necessarily be previewing all those, whoever wins between Brantley and Sweetwater and then Pickens County and Wadley, that will be on December 2nd. The 1A, 3A, 5A games will be on Thursday, December 2nd. The 2A, 4A, and 6A games will be on December 3rd on Friday. And then the 7A game and the Girls Flag Football Championship will be on Wednesday. The flag football thing has been interesting this year. I don't know if you've paid attention to it at all or not.
Very
I don't know.
Little.
Does Thompson have a flag football team?
Yeah, we got one. Yeah.
The championship, I believe, is Hewitt Trustville and I want to say Smith Station maybe,
right.
But I just know Hewitt Trustville. I was talking to the color guy for Hewitt Trustville. He's one of our good sponsors here with the Next Round, and you know, we were talking about the Thompson Hoover game. He called the Hewitt game when they lost to Hoover, and we were talking about that, and he said, well, I'll be joining you at the Super 7. And I was like, oh, really? Because we had kind of been talking trash about Hewitt and Thompson and all that kind of stuff. And he said, yeah, our girls flag football team is playing in the state championship. So that'll actually be at 3 o'clock. They used to do the unified game. I don't know if they still do that or not.
They do not.
But they're going to put the girls flag football championship there at 3 o'clock, and then 7 o'clock is when the 7A championship will be. But if you want to watch some flag football, it's, you know, I think it was all one big classification, but I'll be interested to see if anybody continues to add that to their school's sports programs and if we see more girls flag football moving forward. All right, Class 2A, Clark County. They beat B.B. Comer. Clark County, one of the top teams there, the winner out of Region 1. They win 14-7 in a close, low-scoring game. Lynette, they fought a Highland Home in another close game, 15-14. The Flying Squadron of Highland Home, they move on. They're going to travel to Clark County in that one.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest shocker in the state. Not that Highland Home, but, you know, they've lost five ball games, and here they are playing for a chance to go to the state championship, and they beat Lynette, a team that you would have never thought. Of course, Clark County backing up just a little bit over B.B. Comer. That was a close game, but they get to play this one now at Grove Hill as Highland Home will travel to Clark County.
Yeah, when I went on the Alabama High School Football Historical Society website, they had kind of a pick 'em and said, hey, go pick who you think will be on the end of the championship. 1A so far, I'm still alive. I had Pickens County and Sweetwater in that one. And this one, I had Lynette and Mars Hill. Lynette, they fought a Highland Home this time. Mars Hill, they beat Spring Garden 42-19. But Cleveland looking pretty good as well. They win 39-8 over Southeastern. They've had a little bit of an easier road. Southeastern is a 3 seed out of Region 6. Cleveland, the 2 seed out of Region 6, so already finished higher than them in the region. But Mars Hill, Cleveland, it wouldn't totally shock me if Cleveland were to win this game. Mars Hill, though, a really strong team there in 2A, and I suspect will move up in the competitive balance aspect of things. I think you only have to have 5 points, and they're past that now because they won last year. So Mars Hill will travel to Cleveland. Clark County, they will host Highland Home, and we'll see if Mars Hill can get it done yet again.
Yeah, and they lost their first game to Oneonta to kick off the season, which I'm not sure was again, that might have been a spring game. But since then, they kind of just rolled over everybody. Big score against Gaston as they beat them 61-7 during the year, and then against Midfield in the playoff, 61-46. So defense must have not have got off the bus on that game, but the offense certainly did. And then Southeastern, you know, the Mustangs, they got a good football team. I was surprised that they were able to beat them 39-8. But good job for them. Congratulations to the Cleveland Panthers.
Moving on to Class 3A, a team that will definitely jump back up when it comes to reclassification. That is Montgomery Catholic. They were 4A. They dropped down to 3A. They're going to get a couple of points here, and I think going to beat Montgomery Academy, who they're playing. So Montgomery versus Montgomery here, Academy versus Catholic. Montgomery Academy beat T.R. Miller 28-0. Montgomery Catholic beat Hillcrest Evergreen 41-6. So both these teams have been dominant in their playoff runs so far. Montgomery Catholic's defense, one of the best in the state statistically through all classifications. On the other side, a little bit of a shock here is Fife. They lose to Sachs. Fife did have the longest win streak in the state. They lost, and Thompson had the longest win streak in the state. They lost, and now there's a bunch of teams that had 10, but like James Clemens, they lost, and Hoover, they lost. So the streaks, I believe now are in the single digits for longest win streak in the state. So it's been a competitive season, and Fife, one of those. They fall to Sachs 14-7. I know Ryan Brown's happy. It's his alma mater. Sachs moves on to the semifinals where they'll take on Piedmont. Piedmont, they win 43-14 over Winfield. Piedmont, Sachs from Region 5, they all beat each other. Piedmont, Sachs, and Ohatchee, they all beat each other, but Sachs is the 1 seed. Piedmont's the 3 seed, so Sachs will host that one. So your 3A playoffs, Montgomery Academy at Montgomery Catholic, not too far of a drive, and then Sachs, they will host Piedmont.
Yeah, I think the biggest shocker in 3A, John, this year was in this past week, was the score of the games. You got 28-0. You got 41-6. The only close one was Sachs and Fife at 14-7. Piedmont blew out Winfield 43-14. Usually when you're in, you know, second, third round of the playoffs, you may get that in the first round, but usually those scores are a lot closer. So these four teams stepping up for 3A, this should be some really close ball games coming in to see who gets to go to Progressive.
Protective Stadium.
I keep saying Progressive.
I want to say Progressive when they first announced it, too. I kept wanting to say that. But Protective Stadium is where it will be for the Super 7 coming up on Wednesday. The 3A game, that will be one of those on December 2nd. Thursday, it'll actually be the first game. I said it was 1-3-5 and then 2-4-6. It's actually 3A, 1A, 5A, and then it's 4A, 2A, 6A. They do that to not just, you know, throw the lower classifications playing at 11 a.m. necessarily. But if you're 3A or 4A, you do have to play in the morning and play at 11 a.m. But, you know, I think if you were to say the top five, if you were to ask me going to into the playoffs, the top five teams in Class 3A, I would have told you the four teams that are in the playoffs or the semifinals right now, and Fife, the one close game between Sacks and Fife, because Fife always a top team. In 2A, they moved up to 3A. We'll see if they get reclassified down into 2A. All right, Class 4A, a team that is used to make a little bit of a run, Vigor. They beat American Christian 26-10, ACA always so close, always a region champion, but can't ever make a run all the way to the Super 7. They fall to Vigor 26-10. Jackson, they beat Hanley. Hanley, a team that just won the state title not too long ago. Jackson, they win by 1 point at home. Clearly had to have a little bit of help there at home, 24-23. However, these are two teams from the same region. Jackson, the 2 seed. Vigor, the 1 seed from Region 1. So Vigor will host that one. No game at Legion Field there for Jackson. They'll have to travel to Vigor and play that one. On the northern half, Madison Academy, a close game against Good Hope. 1-score game there. Madison Academy moves on. Madison Academy, another team. No shock that they move on, especially now they're back down in 4A. They moved up to 5A and then fell back down. And then Oneonta, they beat Brooks 56-28. So some names we're used to seeing make it this far. I think all four of them, for the most part, Madison Academy, they'll host Oneonta.
I think Jackson having to travel down to Blount High School Stadium to play in that game could be a deal breaker there, as they're going to be faced off, of course, in the South Division. But I think the game of the week is going to be Oneonta at Madison Academy. Both of those teams come in 12-1. They're both great football teams. Madison Academy, as you mentioned, in a new classification, they'll probably get reclassified as well. But that's a game right there, folks, you want to keep up with, is Oneonta at Madison Academy.
Yeah, Oneonta, big wins over Rogers. Gordo, who we mentioned, Gordo had gone up to 4A. And then Brooks, a team who had been really good there in 4A. All right, let's take a look real quick at 5A before we head to break, and we'll break down 6 and 7A. I got a question for you. When we get past 6 and 7A, and of course, recap that Thompson-Hoover game we were at. In Class 5A, Andalusia, UMS Wright, two former 4A region teams. They are actually in two different regions now. Andalusia coming out of Region 2. UMS Wright, the winner out of Region 1, but UMS Wright falls 20-14, so Andalusia will move on to the next round. Faith Academy, they beat Central Clay County the week before that. They take on Pike Road this week. Pike Road, no mercy, 42-0 over Faith Academy. So the Patriots will move on. They'll host Andalusia in this one because Pike Road, the winner out of Region 2, Andalusia the 3 seed. So no matter what the travel is, the higher seed will host it. In the north, Pleasant Grove, they have just been dominant so far this playoffs. They beat Douglas 55-0. They beat Leeds 35-0. And they beat George Bates' Centerpoint squad 49-21. Pleasant Grove, they'll move on. They'll take on Fairview. You'll have this game on Friday between Pleasant Grove and Fairview on the NFHS Network. Fairview, they beat Parker. I think a little bit of a surprise Fairview made it this far. Gunnersville, actually the top team. They fall in the first round to Ramsey out of that region. Fairview, a 2 seed. They beat Fairfield, Russellville, and then Parker. So a pretty impressive run for Fairview.
I agree. The Aggies out of Fairview, a lot of people don't know, they're up in Coleman County, right to the right, north of Coleman, and to the right up there of Coleman. So that part of the state definitely knows how to play football. You're right. They handle Parker with ease at 45-27. I'll be calling that game Friday night on the NFHS Network if you want to tune in, as we'll be at Pleasant Grove as the Spartans will be ready. I went over and visited with the head coach there at Pleasant Grove this past week, and he's all fired up. The team's fired up. He told me about some good players, so should be a good ball game, folks. You might want to tune into that one on the NFHS Network.
Yeah, Pike Road, they're really good. I had them in the championship. I had Alexandria from the north, but Pleasant Grove was the other team I thought could make a little bit of a run, and they crushed Leeds, the second team from Alexandria's region, and beat Centerpoint pretty good. So Andalusia at Pike Road, Pleasant Grove will host Fairview. That's Class 5A, the semifinals there. All right, we'll get back. We'll take a look at the upper classifications. Class 6A, a couple of interesting matchups there, as you have Clay Chalkville, Mountain Brook, and then you have Hillcrest Tuscaloosa and Hueytown, two Region 14s. We'll talk about how they got there, and of course, we'll recap Hoover and Thompson, the rematch that Thompson wins, and kind of look ahead to the Super 7 as we have that matchup set between them and Central Phoenix City. And, the playoff structure in 7A, I've had a few interesting conversations. I want to ask you a question about that when we get back right here on Next Round Preps.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Stewart, and I want to tell you about a show I'm proud to be a part of, spotlighting Alabama high school athletes. It's called High School Sports Weekly, presented by OS1 Sports Injury Clinic, and it can be found on Facebook Watch as well as YouTube. We release videos each month spotlighting athletes that have unique stories of triumph and perseverance, as well as coaches, family members, and teachers that have helped them along the way. We also spend time meeting players and coaches of all sports throughout the entire school year. So be sure to follow us on Facebook or just Google High School Sports Weekly to watch these amazing stories. That's High School Sports Weekly, presented by OS1 Sports and Drink Clinic.
Chubb Father's got them burgers that be banging. Wings, tenders, po' boys, hoagies that be slaying. Hunger like no other, be good to one another so we can all be cool again. Be your brother's keeper, feed the people. Don't talk about it, be about that equal. Let's grow and grab some grub. I'm giving hunger hugs. Chubb Father's, man, it's all about the love.
Chubb Father's in Alabaster.
At Albritton and Artovino Family Dentistry, we know how valuable your time is. So if it's a crown you need, let us take care of it with our same-day crown service. We have the latest technology allowing us to build your custom crown right here in our office while you wait. Albritton and Artovino Family Dentistry is here to serve you.
Albritton and Artovino are easy to find. Exit 238, that's the Alabaster exit, next door to American Family Care, or call them at 205-664-7610.
Welcome back in to Next Round Preps. John Lunsford, Jerry Young here with you for the final time this season, as a week from now, we normally tape this on, let's say film, we're just doing a podcast. We normally tape this on Wednesday afternoon, and as of this point, next week, we'll be at Protective Stadium for the Super 7. Between Thompson and Central Phoenix City on the call there this week, you have Pleasant Grove and Fairview, since we kind of get an off week here on Black Friday for 7A. I wasn't used to that back in the day, back in the old 6 classification system. Always had to play on Black Friday, and it was always a really competitive, tough game because it was the semifinals. So it's a really tough game we had to play right there when I was at Homewood back in the day. And a couple of tough games in Class 6A now, the region or the classification Homewood's in. They beat Gardendale last week. Gardendale moves on to play Clay Chalkville. And I said, you know what? I'm glad Homewood lost. I didn't want them to get just embarrassed by Clay Chalkville. But Gardendale did exactly the opposite. When our game ended and we were walking off, everybody's in the press box and they were all tuned in to Gardendale and Clay Chalkville. Clay pulls it off 50-44 in overtime, but a bit of a shock there. Gardendale kept it that close.
Yeah, and if correct me if I'm wrong, John, but am I confusing it with Hewitt Trustful where they went for two? Or no, Gardendale Clay Chalkville scored.
Yeah, Clay Chalkville scored in overtime. Right. Or Gardendale missed or had a field goal block. Clay Chalkville scored, and that was it. But regardless, went to overtime. Gardendale was up, I believe, at 1:44:41. Clay ended up kicking a field goal to tie it. But Clay Chalkville moving on, I expect it to be a lot easier. The run they went on and they beat Decatur pretty good and beat a good Briarwood team pretty good. But Gardendale is a totally different story, a team they played earlier the season and won a lot bigger. In 6A Region 6, Pinson Valley, they were the 3 seed. They beat Oxford. They beat Muscle Shoals, two really good teams. Then they got to Mountain Brook and were no match for the Spartans. Mountain Brook wins 30-0. Every game Mountain Brook has played this season has been super impressive, minus the one time we actually watched them when they played Thompson. Now, I get Thompson's a totally different level. Right. You know, Thompson, Hoover, Central, Auburn, those top four teams, is a totally different ballgame. But they have been dominant outside of that. They win 30-0 over Pinson Valley. They'll host Clay Chalkville now, one of the best defenses in the state regardless of classification, one of the best offenses in the state regardless of classification.
So, John, let's go back to Clay Chalkville. I know you've said all year that they're the best team in the state. You had them picked to make it. Now looking at Mountain Brook and the impressive season that they have put together and looking at Clay Chalkville last week against Gardendale, does that change your mind any?
It changes my mind how close the game would be. I thought – it would be Clay and Mountain Brook. The way the brackets laid out, I knew the regions. When it came to region champions, they wouldn't have to play each other until the semis. But the impressive run Mountain Brook's been on, they win 63-0, 45-14, and then 30-0. So they've only given up 14 points in one game and two other shutouts in the playoffs. Had a lot of other shutouts just overall in the season. I didn't see a lot from them when we were at the Thompson-Mountain Brook game offensively that makes me think they could ever hang if Clay Chalkville did start putting points up on that defense. And that's why I think Clay still ultimately wins. But, you know, whereas Clay put up 42, 56, 50, maybe they're more in the mid-30s range. Mountain Brook's kind of in the, you know, I think like a 35-14, 35-21 kind of range for this as kind of an overall score. I still like Clay Chalkville overall to move on to the state championship. Who they'll be playing, though, will be out of 6A Region 4. And while I thought Hueytown, they were my pick to move on, I never would have thought it was a guaranteed, you know, Region 4 team. I didn't think we'd get down to two Region 4 teams. Hillcrest Tuscaloosa, they started their season as we were leaving the Thompson-Oxford game, our very first game. I had a long drive back from Oxford to Hoover, where I live, and I listened to the end of the Homewood-Hillcrest Tuscaloosa game, the very first game, and Homewood beat them. And Homewood had their moments this season. They were good. They had their moments this season. They weren't too hot. And they beat Hillcrest Tuscaloosa. So I said, there's no way they're going to make a run like this and beat Carver-Montgomery, beat Baldwin County, and then beat Saraland, which they did last week, 24-16. They'll travel, though, to Hueytown, who beat Opelika, 46-10. Hueytown, they beat Eufaula, McGill-Tulin, and Opelika pretty bad. And that was a big win for Hueytown over a solid team like Opelika.
Yeah, I think Hueytown's the team to watch. And, you know, going back, we're about to be looking at a rematch possibly between Clay Chalkville and Hueytown. Hueytown lost in that game. Clay Chalkville beat them the first week, well, second week of the season, actually, week one, 57-40. So a 17-point game. But the thing to look at there is how many points is Hueytown gave up to Clay Chalkville and how many points Clay Chalkville gave up to Hueytown. 97 points scored in that ball game. So we could be staring right down the barrel of a great football game in the Super 7.
When you asked me about, okay, should I rethink Mountain Brook, Clay Chalkville, I'm now rethinking what I had as Clay Chalkville over Hueytown in the Super 7, because you're right, last time it was a super high-scoring game, 97 total points between the two. But then 2 weeks later, they played Gardendale at Gardendale, and they won 46-0. And then last week we saw what happened. It was 50-44 in overtime at Clay Chalkville. So, you know, if things flip around and Hueytown can still put those kind of points on the board, there's a chance. And they held a good team like Opelika to almost nothing. There's a chance Hueytown maybe could be crowned your state champion when we get to the Super 7. They got to get past Hillcrest Tuscaloosa first, a team they beat in the regular season because they're the one seed. Hillcrest Tuscaloosa is the two seed out of that region. Pretty good region overall. McAdoria, the three seed. Northridge, the other playoff team there. But two Region 4 teams in the South, a Region 5 and a Region 6 team, which not a huge shock. Those two region champions are playing each other in the semifinals. We'll see who moves on to that Super 7 game. That'll be on Friday night. That's always the last game. It's Class 6A Friday night at 7 p.m. at Protective Stadium. One game that will be at Protective Stadium that we already know, the Class 7A Championship, Central Phoenix City. They beat Auburn 28-17. A little bit of a questionable call on a pick that looked like it was a pick, almost a fumble kind of sort of pick that never really hit the ground. Auburn was up 17-14, a little under 8 minutes to go in the game. Looked like they got a turnover on Caleb Nix as he got tackled. The ball hit his back into an Auburn player's hands, and it doesn't get reviewed because one ref called it incomplete. That kind of overrode the other referees that called it a turnover, and Central drives down scores. They end up getting a turnover score again, and 28-17 is the final score. Patrick Nix takes the squad in his second year with younger brother Caleb Nix at quarterback to the Super 7, but still a really good season for Auburn.
Well, yeah, and we can talk about this game, you know, for the rest of the afternoon, but I'm going to tell you, this team at Central Phoenix City, which, by the way, I think the state legislature needs to pass a law that nobody can name their new school Central, okay?
There's a lot
I don't know how many of them we got in Alabama, but we got a bunch of Central high schools. But Central Phoenix City, of course, comes in undefeated. The only thing that I'll say is the points that they have scored this year, 564 points. That sounds like a lot. But they haven't, you know, they played some kind of close games against Auburn, of course. Of course, that Theodore game was a joke, but they gave up 41 points to Theodore. I mean, it just tells you, and you know that the coaching staff at Thompson is looking at how in the world did Theodore come in there and run those kind of points up on Patrick Nix and that team. So, but other, they haven't had but two shutouts. That's the other thing. They shut out Eufaula and Smith Station. Other than that, every team scored on them. Now, whether that's second and third team scores, we don't know. Of course, we know some of them, like the Oxford game, for example. We know that was out of hand early. But, you know, can the Thompson three-peat is the question. You know, Thompson won at Bryant-Denny. They won at Jordan-Hare. And now can they win it at Protective Stadium? I'm going to memorize that. I don't know. I guess I learned it as progressive, and I don't know why I did that, but Protective Stadium. So, you know, that was one of the things, and I talked to Coach Mark Freeman yesterday. He said, you know, that's in his mind too, is they would love to win it and three-peat and be the first team to win a state championship ball game in the new stadium. I think that's important to him, and his team's fired up to go in that direction.
Thompson getting the win over Hoover. Wasn't quite a close game like the first one was. It kind of a similar score at halftime. Thompson was up 21-3 in this one. They're up 21-10 in the first one. Of course, Connor Harrell goes out. at the end of the half, and backup Zach Sims comes in and kind of thrown to the wolves. Good quarterback, but just kind of in a tough situation. Hoover comes back, scores a touchdown with just a few seconds left to win that one 24-21. Outside of that game, they've only given up double digits twice. It was once to Florence in the first round with a garbage time touchdown towards the end of the game, and it was again to Hoover as it was 35-10 with a garbage time touchdown with about a minute left to go in the game. So this defense has been really solid. Obviously, you know, mostly blowouts so far that we've seen this season from the games that we've watched, a lot of shutouts as well. But looking at how Central has played, looking at their offense can put points up. I mean, Patrick Nix is an offensive guy. He's a college offensive coordinator for multiple teams, and I wouldn't shock me at all if we see him in the college game again once Caleb graduates. But Thompson comes in as an offensive juggernaut as well that I think there's double digits scored by Central Phoenix City. I don't think it's a blowout necessarily, but, you know, I think this is a game that gets pretty high on up there for Thompson and potentially for Central as well that – It's not like the first game we saw. The first game we saw between those two was a blowout by Central Phoenix City. Thompson comes back, gets the revenge win. So this is kind of the rubber match between the two of them. But I just don't see how Central can put enough points on the board against this Thompson defense.
You know, every time I think about what Thompson can do offensively, I'm always a little off. I really believe, John, that they're going to hang close to 40 up on Central. Now, whether Central's offense and Caleb Nix can stay in that, you know, 30 range and break it. Like you said, the highest point scored was Hoover, and that was only 24. We both know Central Phoenix City is a better team than Hoover, looking at stats, and if they were to match up, you would have to say that. But, you know, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I talked to Peter Woods yesterday. He and I had some pictures made together, and he is fired up. I mean, I've never seen such a big athlete that agile. But he's doing agility drills and getting quicker off the ball. Him and Jeremiah Alexander, the two guys that on defense that can really take over a football game, Jax Van Zandt in the middle there, and then Tony Mitchell and Fagans on the defensive backs. Can those guys step up and rise up to how they've been advertised and play in this championship game and shut down Central Phoenix City? They can hold them down, shut them down. I don't think they're going to be able to do.
You know, when it comes to Thompson's defense, there's two big recruits that people are paying attention to right now, and that's the two going to Alabama with Jeremiah Alexander and Traquan Fagans, who just flipped from Miami to Alabama. But let me tell you, you mentioned Tony Mitchell. He's a five-star guy for next year. Right now he's number 11 in the country overall in the 24/7 composite rankings. And Peter Woods is also a five-star guy. He's number 20. I think he's the number one player in the state. I think he's the number one player in the state right now of all the players even this year. And that's not a slight to Jeremiah or Traquan or any of these other really talented players out there. But I think Peter Woods is by far and away the single best player in the state of Alabama right now. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the quickness and off the ball. I mean, every single thing, the strength that you could possibly want out of a solid defensive lineman that he'll line up inside as a three technique. He'll go outside to defensive end. He'll back up as a linebacker. He can play literally anywhere in that front seven, and every single play he's in the backfield. Don't get me wrong, Jeremiah Alexander is too, because they're both so dominant, but they had a formation against Hoover a couple times where they would move Peter Wood into a three technique and have Jeremiah Alexander outside as an end, and that poor side of the offensive line was just absolutely dominated. I mean, I think he's by far and away the best player in the state, and we'll see what he does against Central Phoenix City.
You know, we talked about Caleb Nix. Let's go to the other side of the ball, talk about Thompson's quarterback. Connor Harold, of course, injured his thumb earlier against Hoover, came back. I looked at his little tape wrapping job that he does for practice yesterday. It's stabilizes that thumb, and really against Hoover, John, he was pinpoint accurate. He threw one pass to Pepins that just literally dropped over the top. Pepins caught it and slid on his knees out of the back of the end zone. One of the best plays I've seen all year, but Connor Harold is also headed to North Carolina. He will do he'll match up with Caleb Nix pass for pass.
Yeah, you look at Sam Howell now and how good North Carolina is with him at quarterback. Connor Harold will be the exact same way. And that, you know, it's funny, I just randomly pulled up the 24/7 rankings for this year because I knew, you know, Connor was on down there, and Traquan Fagan's number five overall. The top five players, all Alabama, seven of the top eight, all Alabama. It's kind of surprising. Usually you see a little difference there. The only one is Justice Finkley, that defensive lineman from Hewitt Trussville going to Texas. But we'll see if Sark's even the coach there after how bad he's been. But so there's the breakdown of all seven classifications, 1A through 7A. And real quick before we go, since this is our last podcast and our last chance to talk about it, I mentioned I was talking to the Hewitt Trussville broadcast team there, and they're going to do the girls' state championship game. And we were talking about the Hoover game. You know, they had a chance to win it. They went for two in overtime to try to just end the game. Didn't quite get it. It was a close pass, almost caught, but they ended up falling to Hoover. And I said, you know, no offense, but we were all hoping that Hewitt Trustful would win, not only because they had lost to Hoover before, but also for a home game for the semifinals instead of having to go to the Hoover Met. And he said, yeah, I know y'all really wanted Hewitt Trustful to win. And he said, you know, I really dislike the playoff format in Class 7A because it forces us to play a team like Hoover in the second round when we're the third best team out of Region 3. But I think you could argue maybe we're the third best team in the state too, the way we play. He said the only losses we had were Hoover and Thompson, who were the top two teams in the state. And we almost beat Hoover, who was number one coming in, because of course they had beaten Thompson, so they moved up to number one. And we had this whole conversation about kind of a 16-team super bracket. And I've had it here with the guys at the next round too, had that conversation about, you know, is it better? Now, would we ultimately end up with Thompson and Central Phoenix City? It's very possible we'd still end up with that. But, you know, with 7A kind of being a different animal than 1A through 6A and having a different format and only half as many teams, you know, I'm always interested to get other people's opinions on how to approach 7A to where maybe Thompson's first round game is against a Mobile team and their second round game is against Prattville instead of a team like Oak Mountain, and kind of playing it out that way.
Okay, well, I'm not for adding any games, and I tell you why. I think the best of the best in what they have right now is, and I get what you're saying. I get Hewitt Trust was saying, but I want to tell you that statement would be argued by Central Phoenix City and Auburn as to say, well, they've got to play each other too. So you've got to get to a point somewhere. I would like to see last week's game, for example, in 7A, moved to a bigger venue, although everybody wants home field advantage. Hoover would have never gave that game up. And if it would have been at Thompson, they would have never given it up. Neither would Central. So I guess that's really okay. But, no, I like it. I get it. You know, it's always the third team or the fourth team that's whining, always, you know. I just say, you know, you got to beat the best if you want to get to the best game.
You still got to win all the games to get there, no matter playing. And by the time you get to the semifinals.
Well, that'd just be adding another cush game. And it makes no sense to me to do that.
Only thing I think you would get is maybe you'd get, like, you know, because Thompson's the two seed, maybe Thompson Central in the semifinals and then Hoover Auburn. And then maybe you get a Thompson Hoover in the championship instead of a Thompson Hoover in the semifinals.
So
I don't know.
You're saying not break it down north and south, just do it across.
Keep your regions the same way they are just for regular season travel. When it gets to the playoffs, only in 7A.
I get it.
Seed it 1 through 16. Maybe let the region champs all have byes, but seed it 1 through 16 and just let it roll, because Region 2 and Region 3 have been so dominant that they got to play each other earlier, whereas maybe 7A Region 3 could win out and make it all the way to the semifinals. And it's just 7A Region 3 from that point forward. Who knows?
Well, I tell you what, you'll be able to sit down with Alvin Briggs this next week, so you might want to bring that up to him.
Well, Raddick, we do like a promotion relegation system and add some more teams. You know, I mean, I have all kind of weird ideas that different states do. It's always fascinating. It's kind of thing about high school football. You know, with college, there's a lot of disparity in teams from Power 5 to Group of 5 and stuff like that. You know, UAB and Alabama are technically on the same level, even though they clearly are not on the same level in terms of how the national, you know, view of college football. I've always kind of thought the same thing with high school football. Part of what makes it great, but also part of what makes it a headache, is every state's completely different, so it's hard to compare the best teams out of Georgia versus the best teams out of Alabama versus the best teams out of Mississippi and Louisiana. Louisiana, for instance, they completely separate private and public, and so they had Division 1 through 4, and then they have 1A through 6A, I think, in public, and Division 1 through 4 is private. Everybody does it differently. It's cool to see it. It always makes you wonder, hey, what if we did this? What if we changed things a little bit and kind of made some things different? I mean, we've had the private-public fight here over the last few years. I remember St. Paul's argued, against it. A lot of teams argued over, you know, should private schools even be allowed to play? Not really an issue in 7A, because I don't think we have any now that McGill Toolin dropped out, but lower classifications, a lot of people argue about it. Mars Hill, for instance, a team that's been dominant right now. St. Paul's has been dominant for a long time in Class 5A. So it's just an interesting thing to kind of debate that and see where it is. UMS Wright, Madison Academy, all those teams, you know, should we split them up? Should we allow more teams in 7A? Should we go back to a 6 classification system? So teams like Clay Chaltville and Mountain Brook and Pinson Valley, who are all kind of on the edge of going up anyway, just allow them to play the Hoovers and Thompsons and Hewitt Trussells of the world. It's always an interesting debate. I'm just always curious to get people's opinions on that.
I would like to see Prattville this year, though, coming up next year. You know, they kind of built that. J.B. Wallace done a good job. I know that they're fighting hard down there for new facilities and new everything in Prattville. Foley, as I always mention every year. I talked to Clark Stewart the other day, who is in charge of the quarterback club down there. He likes the new coach. He thinks that Foley's on the way back. You know, you talk about Hewitt Trussell and that statement. If Foley and if Prattville are strong again in there, like Hewitt Trussell is up here and like Oak Mountain has become, then all of a sudden you're more even. It's that the fact that Prattville and Foley have dropped out and you've only left Auburn and Central as the two teams in the south part that have a chance to get there. So, you know, I think if they would get a little better and balance it out a little bit, I believe you'd see people saying, well, okay, we want to pick our poison. Because if Prattville, for example, is the same class team as Hewitt Trussell, I mean, that might be a good ball game to throw an extra game in there, but at the same time, it wouldn't be any better than Hewitt Trussell at Thompson, for example.
It's always interesting to debate it, always interesting to see what people's opinions are. Of course, when you lose, you have a different opinion than when you win. And we're thinking, well, we're going to the Super 7 to call that game, regardless of what happened, because Thompson, so far, has been the top team in the state. But we'll see if they can beat Central Phoenix City. That comes up on Wednesday. Like I mentioned, the girls' flag football game will be before that. I don't know if they'll broadcast that on TV or not. But then the 7A game will be that night. You can listen to Jerry and I on the Warrior Nation Network. Tell everybody one last time where they can hear it.
Yeah, warriornationnetwork.org on Wednesday night, December 1st. We'll go on the air about 6:15 and we'll have the game for you at 7 o'clock. John and I will be calling that ball game on the warriornationnetwork.org. John, this has been a great year. I can't believe it's over already. This is our last broadcast, but we got plans to come back next year bigger and stronger than ever here on Next Round.
Absolutely. Make sure to give us a follow at AL Preps as well. I'll tweet out all the Super 7 matchups as they happen if you're at a game and don't know what happened elsewhere. And then we'll have that game for you coming up next Wednesday, and the whole Super 7 will be Wednesday through Friday at Protective Stadium downtown in Birmingham. For Jerry Young, I'm John Lunsford. This has been Next Round Preps.